Berylum Sports.
Hello and welcome to the Verulam Sport Podcast. Every week, the team behind the award-winning Radio Verulam Sports Show will provide you with the most relevant news from the local and regional sporting scenes, whilst keeping you in the picture with national and international bulletins from the world of sport. There will be topical debates, regular interviews from local talent, and chats with those big-name guests that are a mainstay of Verulam Sport. As always, this is your show, every bit as much as it is ours. So, check out Verulam Sport across social media and get involved. For now, prepare yourself for this week's action-packed Verulam Sport Podcast. Hello again, and welcome to Verulam Sport Podcasting. Hey, regular listeners of Verulam Sport knows we all hear it. Are massive fans and appreciate the great, great work that the awesome Hertfordshire Cheetahs American football team do to promote their wonderful sport here in Hertfordshire and indeed beyond. But this is a first for Verulam Sport Podcasting, and it is indeed an honour and now a massive privilege to welcome back and for the first time to podcasting context, Andy Dickens from the Hertfordshire Cheetahs. Good evening, Andy. How are you?
Good evening, Tony. Yeah, thanks very much for having me on. I'm well, thank you. How about yourself?
Do you know what? Goodness me, we'll talk all about it. It's been a weird, surreal, challenging time for us all, hasn't it? But I'm okay, thank you for asking. So good stuff. Andy, we're going to build, of course we are, to all the challenges this global situation has thrust upon sporting teams and obviously how that's affected the Cheetahs this campaign. And the interesting way is you're still kind of getting out there, which I appreciate. But always, I am a big NFL fan. I know, of course, you are. And we are delighted at least that at the elite level, the game is underway. It kicked off last weekend. Week one action underway. And it's I love the start of the season because everybody's dreaming about a bowl. Got to tell you, as a Niner, I'm fearing a hangover after last year's Super Bowl. Not impressed to see Kittle leave the field. And also generally, injury worries. And they looked, for me, a massive 70-yard reception and run, notwithstanding a little lackluster in a divisional defeat to the Cardinals. Do you think it's going to be a hangover for the Niners this campaign?
Well, I think they've been really hampered in the off-season, haven't they, by the number of injuries they had, particularly to the wide receiver core. I think they had to play Steve Samuel, went on IR just before the game. And while Shanahan's an absolute expert in kind of scheming up and getting receivers open or getting the running game going, I think there's only so much he can cover. And I think the issue remains for the 49ers on offensively anyway is that they're paying Jimmy Garoppolo a lot of money and the quarterback. And there's times where perhaps it needs to fall on him to make some of those plays if they're to kind of avoid that hangover. I thought the Cardinals was quite an interesting team as well in terms of the obviously the big off-season pickup of DeAndre Hopkins, who was obviously a major target. But it looked like Kyler Murray at quarterback had taken a step out of his rookie season. And I just wondered whether they keyed on something defensively for the 49ers. That quick passing game really neutralised the kind of 49ers pass rush and also Murray's ability to scramble and without wanting to depress you too much, obviously there's another quarterback in the division called Russell Wilson who might be able to offer a similar threat.
He's not too shabby, is he? Comes in off a win, of course he does as well off their first efforts for the Seahawks. An underrated player though, Murray, I think. Never quite gets the same props as, say, of course, league MVP and, you know, or Super Bowl MVP, Mahomes, previous league MVP, Lamar Jackson from the Ravens. But he does have that similar kind of multi-purpose, dual-purpose quarterback opportunity and weaponry for the Cardinals. I'm interested to see how they develop, actually. I think they could have a surprisingly good campaign, the Cards.
I think they could be a very interesting team, actually. And I think Murray coming out last year obviously wasn't surrounded by a huge amount of talent. Obviously forget sometimes how little football he actually played in college at Oklahoma and the fact he was obviously originally drafted in the first round of Major League Baseball. So I expect it to develop. And obviously Cliff Kingsbury's offense at Arizona is quite revolutionary, bringing that kind of college game from Texas Tech there. And there should be an exciting team to watch if nothing else.
Absolutely. Watch this space. And a team that's always going to be exciting are the defending champs, you know, the Chiefs. No hangover from them. They look very impressive indeed. Mahomes didn't miss a beat, looked impressive, and they get their season off with a win. It's going to be tough for them. There's always so many big teams, so many adjustments in this surreal season with a limited off-season, as we all know. But for you, do you think they remain the team to be beaten until somebody proves otherwise?
I think with the signing, Mahomes signing a very, in some ways, team-friendly deal over 10 years in the off-season, I think we potentially could be looking at the next dynasty with Andy Reid there. They seem to have managed to sign up all their major players, so Chris Jones re-signing on defence. And obviously, even through the draft, adding Clyde Edwards-Helaire at running back, who really looked quite dangerous in his first outing. So and obviously, Andy Reid's ability to kind of, I think, certainly offensive. He's ahead of anyone else in the National Football League. So I think they very much could be here to stay. And I think it's going to take quite a lot to beat them.
Yeah, for me, they look very, very impressive. But again, it's still too early to make massive extrapolations any given Sunday and all of that. But I'll tell you what, another player who was league MVP last year, didn't miss a beat for me, was Lamar Jackson. Great start for him. And the Ravens also get off for a win. They're building something as well there, that Ravens outfits. They are, to me, going to be one of the teams that are going to be knocking on the Super Bowl door as well this campaign.
Completely agree. And I think as much as what anything they did on offense, I think defensively they looked incredibly, incredibly strong as well. Mm. And obviously, as you said, Lamar Jackson coming off that MVP, and they've got that unique offense, and already to a degree, you already see the Patriots with Cam Newton starting to imitate it or try and create something similar. So, I think John Harbaugh was a very underrated coach. To think he was on the hot seat 3 years ago seems ridiculous now, doesn't it? But I think there's certainly still that team to beat in that division.
Absolutely. Superman Cam, we're going to come on to that in just a second. But maybe a quarterback not in the limelight, or maybe in the limelight for the wrong reasons, was his opposite number in their beating of the Browns. Baker Mayfield, he's created a lot of hype coming into the league. He showed flashes of what he's capable of and what earned him the number one draft slot. But yet to pull that off consistently. A lot of pressure on that young man's shoulders, I think. A lot to prove this season. Do you think he's going to step up to the plate?
Well, the early signs aren't good. Obviously, he had that fantastic first season. And then I suppose in some respects, last year you could give him a pass with a head coach that appeared to be completely out of his depth. But you can't argue for the surrounding talent. He seemed a lot more focused in this mm-hmm. off-season. So obviously the season before, every commercial you tapped on, when we watched some of the American coverage on Game Pass, he seemed to be popping up advertising anything. But by all accounts, the new head coach, Kevin Stefanski, sort of gave him a laundry list of things to work on in the off-season. And so we're expecting better things, but obviously the early showing isn't good. But I suppose it is again week one and learning a new offense. And I think what you saw is teams that had a lot of continuity generally ran a lot better, where some of the other teams still trying to work things out and get on the same pages, there were a lot more issues. And I'd expect the standard across the league, certainly offensively, to improve. So I wouldn't write it off just yet, but the early signs weren't encouraging.
You're dead right as well about the point about consistency. You know, Breeze and the Saints, whilst Breeze's numbers weren't his usual stratospheric level, just there was that kind of sense of ease with the offense. And nice to see Kamara also picking up the big bucks and getting over the end zone again. But one man there that the Bucs were facing was at the other end of that consistency spectrum, a man who has been dubbed the GOAT, Tom Brady. 6 Super Bowl wins, but all of them with the Pats. He's got a new jersey and he's got some weapons, but there was a lot of misfiring for me watching that game. There's going to be lots written, of course there is. He comes with that pressure and that cachet, but too early to tell. And how do you think overall he's going to fare with the Bucs, teaming of course with Gronk, who was also largely a non-entity in that defeat to the Saints?
correct. Well, I think it shows no one's immune to this kind of truncated off-season, doesn't it, really, of and not being able to have a full training camp. And I think there were definitely some, as you said, miscues. So the interception on Mike Evans, where Evans appeared to stop and Brady threw the ball high, and it obviously got kind of picked off. And there were certainly, as you said, a lot of misfires. I think he's already had a positive effect in Tampa in terms of who he's attracted, and some of the reports coming out around kind of the leadership there. And I think certainly he's bought Jason Light, the general manager. He's made some questionable draft picks over time, some time there. And I suppose from where they were, they've clearly put all chips into winning within this next couple of windows. But I think it's worth acknowledging, even in his last season with New England, there were signs of decline. I think even him and Breeze, they weren't the greatest advert for quarterbacks over 40 last night. There were a few throws that could have led receivers and stuff. So I think overall the Buccaneers will be improved for having him. I'm not quite so convinced they're going to be strong enough to make a Super Bowl run.
Tell you what, they've got to get a run game going, because then Brady, of course, opens a play action where he is a magician. They were almost non-existent. I know Jones put in some efforts, but LaForette, I thought, was an absolute non-entity. Too early to tell, but teething problems for the Bucs. And of course, they were much hyped with that acquisition of the GOAT. The other GOAT, of course, in question.
I didn't think he looked as... Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Oh, sorry, Tay. I was just going to say, I didn't think Fournette looked the same running back in the last couple of years of Jacksonville, which I think, as much as the kind of off-field disagreements and stuff with the front office, was the reason that they were prepared to let him go.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And as we know, it's such a finite window, isn't it, of running backs. They can go from, you know, superstars to less than runs. Just they put their body through so much stress. However, almost disproving that very point is a man that, as a Viking, I know that you know very well. Is it kind of tough to see AP Peterson lining up back in your North Division, but for the Lions?
It's a bit strange. I suppose we've at least had 4 or 5 years to get used to it. I didn't think he'd have this many teams after the Vikings, but somehow he seems to be able to endure it. I think I heard Rob Ryan, who was on the Washington defensive coaching staff last year, saying he could barely walk in the week and barely take part in practice, but somehow he gets up and sort of answers the bell for game time. So him and Frank Gore, really, is just absolutely incredible how they keep going.
You use the word incredible. I'd say freakish, quite honestly, but there we go. Unfortunately, yeah. The Lions lost out, but watch out for AP for the season. He's just one of the all-time greats in the running back position. So we've mentioned there you are a Viking, and, you know, another season opening defeat. Were there signs there at least in fighting back towards the death of character? And again, we spoke about Mayfield with question marks. Kirk Cousins picked up some big bucks and has still got those question marks about his big game mentality. Your hopes and aspirations now still after 0-1 starts the season for the Vikes?
I think to answer your first question, I think the scoreline perhaps flattered us a bit, and I think it was perhaps a bit of adjustments from Green Bay's defense when of us having to chase the game, obviously, in the final quarter. I think the biggest concern, to be honest, for the Vikings was the defensive side of the ball, which has always been a Mike Zimmer strength. Obviously, using Danielle Hunter to IR. And Yannick Ngakoue only just arriving and not really looking quite game ready meant that we weren't able to generate any pressure up front. But Aaron Rodgers really did carve up our secondary, to be honest. And we've obviously had a first Vikings are up against the cap, so they've had to replace some experienced veterans with some quite young cornerbacks in the secondary who really got exposed. I think that was the issue. I think Kirk Cousins only had 5 passes the time of possession at halftime, and I think that was in part caused by, you know, the Vikings, I think, were only able to pressure Rodgers on 7 of 44 dropbacks, and I think if you do that, you're not going to be able to win a game of football. I think the answer with Kirk Cousins is, I think he answered,
it's not every week though that you do come against Aaron Rodgers. Do you buy into the narrative that's been spun that he's got another bit of energy or a bit of a chip on the shoulder-esque mentality, given their selecting of a first round QB in the draft, the Packers? Or is it just the case the guy's world class and is always going to perform from time to time? He's going to demonstrate that he is in the debate for the GOAT.
Well, I think it's also worth remembering that Tom Brady had some of his best years in his kind of later 30s after having a couple of years of slump. I think it's fair to say that Rodgers definitely hasn't played as well in the last couple of years. But I don't think you see too many signs of any of his kind of physical abilities sort of waning. I think it was more just making bad decisions or getting into bad habits where he perhaps hasn't had some of the surrounding talent and trying to do too much. I think Matt LaFleur's come in and I think that the scheme has really kind of suited him. I think he has definitely got that kind of chip in the shoulder and feeling slighted. And I think he would love to put the Packers in that difficult position with Jordan Love going into year two where he's on the cheapest possible salary for them to surround him with all the talent he needs and put them at a difficult position of really whether they want to let him go at the end of this season. And he does seem to be that little bit more focused and determined. And I really wouldn't be that shocked if we were looking at an All-Pro year, as depressing a thought that is as a Vikings fan.
Yeah, watch this space. But Aaron Rodgers, he honestly is gold dust, particularly when he's motivated and on the game as he was at the weekend. Just before we move on and focus in on the awesome Cheaters, got to chat a quick bit about the Pats. A new toy for... Mr. Belichick to play with, but a proven talent in Cam Newton. But is that another man with a chip on the shoulder? I tell you what, I thought he has always rushed well, looked strong, looked fit, and that's just going to be an interesting, different style of football under Newton. But maybe his best chance ever of getting to the Super Bowl, because Belichick knows the way there, doesn't he?
Absolutely, I think with all the opt-outs and everything on the Patriots defense, it had all of us starting to bet against them again. But I think Bill Belichick always reminds us that we can never really count them out. And in terms of Cam, absolutely, I think even the salary that he's had to take in New England at just over $1 million, I think will definitely leave him with a bit something to prove. But and as you said, I don't know whether he looked quite as quick as he ever was. But there was a big question mark about the fitness and would they allow him to run and that style of offense. And I think he had 15 rushes yesterday, clean for 2 touchdowns. So I think emphatically that was answered as yes. And I think it really is just a question of whether he can stay fit or whether he can endure that sort of workload running the ball during the season. But it's certainly going to be a lot of fun watching to find out.
Absolutely. As much as we've been writing off the Pats for various reasons, for goodness knows so long, they're a dynasty for a good reason. And that is because, like him or loathe him, he's Marmite, but you simply cannot deny that one of the greatest coaches of all sports is Belichick, who's not a slave to a style or a brand of football, but simply works with his own tools and then identifies the weaknesses in opposition. It sounds so basic, doesn't it? But there isn't anybody I've ever seen who is got that art down to an absolute skill as per Belichick.
No, and I think when you compare him to other NFL coaches or other sports, indeed, you have to do it in the context of free agencies and the salary cap.
Absolutely.
So inevitably, when a team has the success they have, you have to pay your stars more. And I think his ability to adapt, or in some ways be quite ruthless, and his not only just as a coach, but his work as a kind of general manager to move on from stars just at the right time, or bring younger players in and develop them, is just unrivaled. And as he said, like him or loathe him, I don't think anyone can question his place as the greatest football coach of all time, and I think right up there in any sport, really.
I think he really has to be. It's just remarkable, and you brilliantly put that in context. But right here, right now, it's appropriate to focus in on the challenges for the Cheaters. Obviously, all sports have had to kind of respect the global situation. Would I be absolutely right in saying, do correct me if I'm wrong here, is this season in terms of kind of on-pitch action curtailed now? Is it, have you decided almost let's red flag this season?
Yeah, so our national governing body, training was suspended like a lot of other things back in March, and our national governing body sort of eventually took the decision sort of in around June time to cancel this year's season. So, regrettably, we were all looking forward to the season, but obviously, as you said, there's a public health crisis going on in the world pandemic, and some things are more important than football. So, we've had to stop that. We have, though, recently sort of returned to training. So we've got a very phased in return to play. So we won't unfortunately be able to do any kind of contact football till January. But the plan is hopefully for that to resume and then kind of competitions to resume in March next year. But obviously we understand that at full contact, we are a higher risk sport.
No, totally get that. And as always, we're going to massively support you throughout the prolonged now off season. And build into next, because there were massive plans as well. I mean, again, you're right, you've got to put it in its context, and we must respect health and safety is paramount. But new home, obviously, we've loved following you here in St Albans, as they say.
That's right, yeah.
Oxfordshire Cheetahs, and I've loved popping down a few times. But onwards, and I guess upwards, moving to Watford, I think that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, so I think completely. We've been very grateful for St Albans Rugby Club providing us a home for the past 5 years. But just in talking to them, and actually the biggest reason for the move is the growth of our club across all mm-hmm. areas. So we've got a flag team with over 40 members for sort of children between sort of age eight up to 17. Our youth contact teams had a really successful season before, so that's had, squad numbers of up to 30. Our junior team, I mean, we had nearly 40 players at training just last weekend, and our senior team continues to grow, and obviously as well we've got the women's team we want to accommodate. So as I said, Sun Sport and Postal Club, they've been fantastic in Watford. They've been able to accommodate all of our teams. So for instance, our women's team was having to train separately from the rest of us, and it kind of gives us the room and capacity to grow the club, and also obviously it's close to a tube station, so that potentially expands our catchment area out of London, but obviously we're really only 12 miles from our previous ground, so it's obviously just a too good an opportunity to allow us to continue to grow the club.
And what I've always appreciated about you is that you are such wonderful ambassadors for the sport of American football, that you get out into the community, that you involve people and you encourage that family spirit. And I've got no doubt that's going to continue and build as you move on now to Watford. And you mentioned there, crucially, the relationship with what were the Tornadoes, the ladies' side, now all amalgamating as the Cheetahs. Just talk to me a little bit about that decision and how big that move is going to be for the Cheetahs brand.
Yeah, sure. So the Hertfordshire Tornadoes were really formed out of sort of Hertfordshire University. And obviously, a couple of years ago, it became apparent that the university weren't able to sort of in a position to continue to fund and kind of promote them. So there was a sort of merger between the two clubs. I think initially obviously, both clubs wanted to see how it went, and also we were keen perhaps not to impose ourselves on them. Mm. That they were, I think they were the first women's football team to be American football team to be established in the country. But that merger's gone very well, and they managed to complete a season last year before the COVID sort of restrictions came in. So I think it was felt it was in the interest of both clubs really that coming under the one brand, feeling that we were really felt that we were part of one club, and also helps us on our website to more easily promote and support the sort of women's game in Hertfordshire and the sort of surrounding areas as well. And there's a move really that's come through recently. They play in the top division of women's football, and there's a move to move that to a summer season to align with the men's, and also move to a nine-a-side version of the game. So they played a seven-a-side version before on a reduced pitch. This would be 9-a-side instead of 11-a-side, but would be much involved special teams, kicking, and make it far more like the men's game. So we're certainly on the lookout for more players to try and expand the squad, because we very much want to be a part of that, and I think that'll be an exciting game, development for the sport, and really allow the women's side of it to grow.
Absolutely love all that, and just again really massively appreciate how passionately you get behind all these movements, and you really do shine a light for the beautiful sport of American football, obviously in Hertfordshire, but across the country. It is massively appreciated, and hence why we always value your time and company. And before we move on to kind of getting that promotion of how to get involved with the Cheaters, which I think will be important, it hasn't just come to a grinding halt, though, has there? I know it's not really the same. When I first heard about it, I thought maybe you guys were getting on Madden football or something. But please, Andy, give us the context of what virtual football is. And you guys do rather well at it, unless I'm much mistaken.
Well, yeah, there's a Facebook site called UK American Football Scene. And they're a fantastic bunch of guys who give up their time really to try and promote the sport on social media, really. And they're really, they're people who I think one's involved with the Birmingham Bulls. And they're people that really, as I said, love British American football and want to promote the game. They're running a virtual bowl, so anyone can sign up to UK American Football Scene and offer the vote. And as I said, we've been voting, and we're quite fortunate at the moment. I think we've just gone 7-0. So
unbeaten.
We've been
Don't knock it, Andy. You're
unbeaten. So.
Come on.
So yeah, there's certainly a few weeks we'd like to actually score 100 points. We've only done that once in a game. So but no, it's been fantastic, and we're really grateful for them because it's helped us. Keeps the sport in, you know, across social media, and gets people involved and keeps people interested at a time when obviously we're not able to play.
Absolutely, and as I say, we're delighted to give you this platform tonight, and we'll continue to touch base throughout the NFL season. But just in closing, again, we mentioned this amalgamation. It is flag football, junior football, obviously the men's, now fusing with the ladies, all as one brand, the Hearts Cheaters. Obviously no contact going on, but training underway as we look to build towards next season's, fingers crossed. Andy, for more information, and hey, you fancy a new challenge? These guys are awesome. I've padded up with them and it's a lot of fun. How can we get involved? Where's the best website and social media links?
Yes, so I think you can find us at Hertfordshire Cheaters on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. It's at Hearts Cheaters. But if you're interested, you can email heartscheatersrecruitment@gmail.com. Not only can we sort of point you in the right direction of who to speak to in terms of team managers, but also it allows us to send you all the new player forms, and obviously in 2020 the pre-COVID questionnaires that allow you to come and train, and obviously we you know, the safety of our members is one of our top priorities, so we've obviously got some additional measures in place to keep everybody as safe as is possible in these times. So if you, the email address again is heartscheatersrecruitment@gmail.com, and someone will point you in the right direction.
Perfect. Really appreciate that. And of course, across social media as well, you guys are very active and unbeaten at the moment in virtual football. It's unbeatable for me to have a chat with the likes of you, Andy. It really is. I want to salute you. I want to send my best wishes to you and to everybody involved in Family Hearts Cheaters. I look forward to catching up with you. Let's call it round 4 when we've got a bit of a pattern to chat about NFL-wise. And look forward to
hopefully the Vikings
soon.
And 49ers forms.
Yeah. Look, I will take 2-2 at this moment by then.
Thank you very much, Tony. Thank you very much, and your support's very much appreciated, everyone at Verium Sports. So thank you very much indeed.